Reality Rant. We're back. That's right, folks. The Reality Rant podcast back on the airwaves, available to you via iTunes and many other methods of media. But this is going to be a very interesting podcast because I, Eric Pierce, who usually lead you through all the reality news you can use and abuse, well, guess what? I'm not going to be able to do so because there's a little problem between Time Warner and CBS, and they've decided that if I continue to watch Big Brother, my mind will melt. So they decided to take CBS away from me. And as a result, Bill Hammond is going to be responsible for all of your Big Brother updates. That's right, folks. Strap in. It is not going to be a smooth ride. Yes, this is your Reality Rant podcast, Big Brother Catch-Up Edition. Eric Pierce of Game Show News Net alongside Bill Hammond, coming from the East Coast, where he has Big Brother, also known as Trainwreck Number 1.
Yeah, precisely. I think my brain actually did melt. Count yourself lucky, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not too shocked. I've kept up with some of the updates as far as reading the web streams on Jokers, as well as taking a look at some of the chats and mindless tweets that have been sent out about this show. But most importantly, Bill, does this show have any shot at redemption?
Let's see, there are 8 left, I believe, at this point. 9 left?
We did have a double eviction.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 8 left. There is one redeeming outcome.
Okay, and that would be?
McCray winning.
Meteor, are we rooting for the Meteor?
We pretty much are. Like, McCray winning and maybe Andy would be okay at this point, but otherwise, yeah.
Maybe Andy? What do you mean? Are you trying to tell me that Andy all of a sudden has become a significant player?
Yeah, kind of.
How the hell did that happen?
Well, if you buy into the conspiracy theories, he's been a significant player the whole time.
Oh, so him wandering around from group to group and randomly listening to what's going on and doing absolutely nothing about it, now we're supposed to believe that he's actually been strong-arming everything within the house?
Not entirely. We don't normally give credence to these types of rumors, but it's been a... been kind of the major conspiracy theory of the season. It's been on blogs, been on Facebook. Someone using a fake name who claims to be a former employee of the show has stated in no uncertain terms that this season is rigged for Amanda to win because mm-hmm. Amanda is apparently friends with Alison Grodner.
Well, that's a bit of a mess.
And that Andy was cast to basically guide her to the win.
Hmm. Now, they haven't been major associates in the house.
They haven't been based on the editing of the show, because but as was revealed in last night's episode in the double eviction, when Judd got knocked down, he was in an alliance that they called the Goof Troop, and that was him, Andy, McCray, and Amanda. And that hasn't gotten the attention that the other alliances have over the course of the season, mostly because they haven't lasted long enough for any of them to matter. The other part of the conspiracy theory, which almost makes me raise an eyebrow a little bit, is that this person is claiming that there will be a twist in the game that basically is their insurance policy against Amanda getting voted out.
Mm-hmm.
And while this has not been officially revealed yet, Julie Chen has tweeted pictures of the reset button.
Okay.
And she did hint on this week's eviction show that since the jury phase has begun with Candace and Judd being eliminated last night, on Thursday night, they're in the jury, but the game is not over for them. She has hinted that there is going to be some kind of twist that may get the jurors back into the house, and a reset button, probably by a Pandora's box, would serve that exact purpose.
Now, regardless of what a reset button, a Pandora's box, etc. might be or do, it's a pretty bold statement to suggest that one house guest is being targeted as the winner of the show, and that all the actions and activities and, frankly, interviews within the house are being focused on making her the winner. Has anyone really made a clear connection proving that Amanda and Alison Grodner are best friends?
Not that I've seen, and to a certain extent, in the last few weeks, the editing has turned on Amanda a little bit.
Clearly has, and we've seen how the MVP vote's gone against her.
Yes, but that's partially
because... Let me double-check since I don't know. MVP this week is...
Dead.
Officially dead.
The MVP... Julie announced it on Thursday's eviction show. The MVP is dead. No longer in place. Standard two nominees the rest of the way.
Okay. And did they ever find out who the MVP was the past couple weeks?
Nope. Actually, addendum. Caitlin and Howard found out after they were evicted.
Correct.
Because they're pre-jury evictees and they went home. But Candace and Judd are in the jury, so Julie actually warned the audience before she announced the vote. It's like, these guys are not going to be allowed to know anything, so don't make anything, don't give them any hints as to who the MVP might have been. Mm-hmm. And the MVP, I think we can safely put this to bed right now. An interesting idea, but as usual on the show, a horrible execution and a completely failed concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. The MVP was very contrived. It was basically there to give Alyssa power early on, and then once they took it away, it really became a random, not a totally random crapshoot, but not nearly the impact that I think some people had hoped it would have in this game.
More importantly, I mean, I think it could have worked if they had just kept it as, you know, giving one player power, but it only could have worked if Alyssa wasn't in this cast, because she had a built-in voting block thanks to Rachel.
And there might have been the argument to say that you could only be MVP once.
Mm-hmm. And again, this kind of goes into the pro Amanda theory. Amanda was given the sweetheart edit for about the first 4 weeks. You know, the only mean things she said were diary room confessionals that sounded on par with Britney. But Alyssa kept winning MVP. So after 3 weeks of realizing, oh crap, we gave us this twist and they keep voting for Alyssa because of Rachel, we should have seen that coming. They moved it to the audience to just name the nominee. The first time it was Alyssa, but only because Aaron was head of household and therefore ineligible. Aaron was already on the block and therefore ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 2 weeks it was Amanda, and all it served to do was fuel paranoia in the house, because eventually, you know, they were able to bully Alyssa into admitting that she was the MVP, so they always knew it was her.
Right.
But when Alyssa goes on the block, and then when Amanda goes on the block twice, all it does is say, like, who did it? And Amanda, getting a little bit schizo with everything, basically decided that it was Howard, so Howard had to go. Howard mm-hmm. was evicted. Then she decided, oh, it had to have been Judd, and Judd was evicted. Because God forbid they actually go against Amanda, you know.
Sure.
So they won't know until the season ends in September that it was the audience who voted, and even then they're so oblivious. I mean Amanda has actually even said in the diary room, like, I can't imagine that America would have voted for me as an MVP nominee. It's like, what reason do they have not to like me? I was like, are you kidding me at this point? Yeah, it's like, I mean, I've stood up for Amanda a couple of times, again, because of the Britney-esque humor and the fun bags, but she's gone beyond the pale in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a fight with Jesse, she had a fight with Candace during the veto competition.
Is it surprising that Amanda hasn't been under bigger attack in this season?
Mostly because not really because she's always found herself in an alliance. She's never been unprotected in this game. Even the other racists like Aaron and Jean Marie and Spencer, they've had moments where they have had no protection. So they've had to kind of be, you know, have their backs against the wall, you know, and stand on the back foot, hoping that they can emerge from something. But Amanda has always had a support system in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why I think the audience turned against Amanda, It's one thing to be like Aaron and Gina Marie and make these racist comments, but Amanda would make the comments, then chastise Aaron for making the comments, you know, try to get her to stop, and then when Aaron would be in power, Amanda would kiss up to said power and join back in. It's like, it sounds horrible, but if you're going to be a racist, at least be a racist with integrity.
Ay, ay, ay. Now,
let's play a little game right now. Just a little short diversion game.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you four names. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, Gina Marie, Amanda, Spencer. I want you to tell me which one of the four said the most stupid, bigoted thing in the last 3 weeks, and there is a correct answer to this.
Oh, there is a correct answer.
Other than managing to
get yourself investigated by the Arkansas police.
Other than that, because
so we're not going to talk about that.
We will, but that, but I don't consider that bigotry. I just consider that, oh dear God, you know.
Okay, I'm not aware of it, but let's have fun. Let's go for Gina Marie.
Incorrect.
Okay, who said it, and what was it?
The most horrible thing Gina Marie said recently was actually on the live show this Thursday when Candace was making her exit speech. Basically, she brought up the fact brought up Gina Marie's nomination speech and how it got kind of personal with her calling her a rat, and Gina Marie fought with Candace on live TV for 30 seconds and yelling and screaming at each other. And then when Candace got evicted, Candace, you know, had one last line saying, you know, go back to living with your mom, because that's where, because Gina Marie at the age of 32 still lives at home. And Gina Marie said, well, at least I have a mother who loves me, which was a dig at Candace because she's adopted. Mm-hmm. So that's horrible. The answer is Spencer.
Okay.
And again, this is objectively the most purely stupid bigoted thing I've heard all season.
So we're not talking about the child porn. We're talking about...
He has actually said, this happened about 2 weeks ago, he said that photos of the Holocaust were photoshopped.
I mean, technically, let's call it what it is.
I did not know that Hitler had a time machine that allowed him to go forward into the future and get Adobe... To doctor photos of his own handiwork.
Here's where I make your life difficult. Technically, he's accurate. I mean, I could take a photo of the Holocaust right now and Photoshop it. So they have been Photoshopped. Just not in the way he was suggesting that maybe back then when the photos were taken, that they've been altered in such a way so as to...
He was referring to...
Suggest alternate history.
He was referring to photos in textbooks and in the Holocaust Museum.
Well, fantastic. And who knows if it's true or false. They may have been photoshopped to make them more clear, but I highly doubt it's one of those where they change the actual content of the photos. Let's go bigger. Let's really wrap in all of Spencer to this for a second.
Yes.
Where do you think on a live show that is live streamed 24/7 it makes any sense whatsoever to tell the world, hey, yeah, I really like some of that kiddie porn?
And it wasn't just saying he likes kiddie porn. He says
I'm laying it on very light right now. Yes.
This is.
Don't get our podcast in trouble, Bill.
He said he likes to pleasure himself to said.
Mm-hmm.
And that he really likes it if the photos look like the kids locked in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unreal. I mean, dude, you've known me for a lot of years. I have a warped sense of humor.
Yeah.
But even I have a line, for God's sake.
And especially when you know, again, there are cameras and microphones and people who are there specifically to judge you. Might have been a good idea to keep it shut on that one. But hey, Arkansas police are doing their investigations to make sure that this truly is a joke and not actuality. And who knows, maybe Big Brother will get that much more depressing. Couple of weeks,
the police have determined that there, you know, they've investigated his house. There's nothing illegal going on. It probably was just a joke, but yet again, Union Pacific has had to make a statement saying, you know, because of our CBA, we can't do anything more at this time. We have to wait till he comes back out of the house, which will be in September because he's at least in the jury now.
Mm-hmm.
And the hilarity of it is the last 2 weeks, Spencer's been on the block come eviction night, and he's started his eviction speech by thanking Union Pacific for giving him the leave of absence. I was like, dude, you have no idea right now. And two, that's all they need is to be publicly associated with you. Like they can kind of keep it under wraps with the live feeds, but on the actual show.
Yeah.
Live TV semi nationwide because of Time Warner and CBS.
Mm-hmm.
They finally settled with Dish Network, but
yeah, but you know what? I still don't have it, and that's all that matters. Game Talk, because yes. I need an update.
Yes.
Somehow Andy, I don't know, Ginger Power, what do you want to call it? He's HOH.
Yeah. They won't show it until Sunday. They didn't even start it during the double eviction.
Sorry. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
No. I'm saying I don't know how he won. I don't know what the competition was.
No, I understand. But you got that. And he has made nominations.
Jesse and Spencer.
Jesse and Spencer. Why?
Because they're the two without an alliance, and you know, just God forbid we do anything but pecking order. I mean, yes, he turned on his own alliance to vote out Judd last night. But again, that's more because Amanda's a schizo, and Helen as much as I like the way she plays the game, she is so fake with her emotions. It's disgusting, you know?
I'd just like to say one thing. Usually it's a problem when you see a twosome within the Big Brother house, whether it's romantic or otherwise. Are the people in this house just blind to non-romantic twosomes?
Pretty much.
Because, come on, Amanda McRae is just square in your face. If you're missing that, what the hell? Yeah. Aaron and Gina Marie are at the hip because they don't have any other option. Even though Aaron's slowly working her way into the Helen fold, which is interesting because Helen and Alyssa used to be together, and they kind of still are, but not as solid as they were in earlier weeks.
And Alyssa's kind of faded into the background in the last few weeks, ever since the MVP shifted to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just go back to where we last were, okay?
Yeah.
We last left off in the podcast on Jeremy's eviction, which, you know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the next week, Caitlin gets evicted instead of Aaron or Gina Marie. All three of them on the block together. Two out of three chance that a racist gets evicted pre-jury, and they didn't get rid of one of the racists.
Which basically means that becoming racist has become a viable strategy within the Big Brother house. People will hate you so much that they'll realize, wow, I hope I get to sit next to them in the final two.
I will give Aaron mild credit for her campaign, though. She pulled two kind of quasi-moves that really did help save her.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she made an argument to other people that Caitlyn was the bigger threat because Caitlyn had won the veto the previous week. Now, I'm just going to call BS on that immediately because Caitlyn won a veto where you had to jump on a trampoline. So unless she was auditioning for a revival of the Man Show, I don't see how that's a relatable skill in the game. Aaron won an endurance HOH. And then after Caitlyn was evicted, guess who won HOH?
Mm-hmm.
And guess who won HOH during the double eviction? And guess who won the veto in the double eviction?
Are you suggesting that someone might be a threat?
Yeah, kinda. You know, I mean, to the point where Helen's even calling her the new Janelle, which is just again,
not there yet.
She's kissing ass. It's so transparent. But so that's one thing. She was actually able to convince people that Caitlyn was a bigger threat than her, which is in no way logical, but whatever. The second point is that she went to Helen with a deal that if she were spared that week, she would either throw the HOH, or if she won, she would turn it over to Helen and Alyssa and let them name the nominees.
And she followed it, which I actually think is exactly the right move for her.
Yep, yeah, she pulled it off, and... But of course, this is where the season is left without redemption, because Amanda had been manic about getting rid of Howard for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So when Aaron turned over her HOH to Helen and Alyssa, of course, Howard goes up and Howard goes out.
Sure.
Because he's the biggest threat, even though he hadn't won a single competition, he had no alliance, you know, there was nothing to suggest that he was going to go on a run, you know? Yes, he was throwing a couple of competitions, but... Don't let muscles fool you. Jesse had two seasons of having muscles, and he was still voted out on the jury bubble, and then first in the jury in his two seasons. So mm-hmm. So no. But then the next week, you know, Gina Marie gets HOH. The racists go marching it one by one, and they get rid of Candace. But not because she's a threat. Because they don't like her. Let's just
call it what it is. Aaron got rid of Howard. Gina Marie gets rid of Candace. Why? Come on. Do we really need to paint this picture for you?
Let's literally call the spade a spade here, okay? That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of the black people. That was their goal, and they got away with it.
Yeah, and even if they were influenced by others to do so, they by no means said, oh no, I don't want to do that.
You know, and so now we're left with seven white people and Helen, and depending on the camera angle, Helen looks whiter than some of the other people.
Oh, cut that out. That's bad. But let's game forward.
Especially since Amanda had to have a veto penalty of getting spray tan for 48 hours.
Game forward, Jesse and Spencer. Who is the target? Who should be the target?
I believe Jesse is the target just because the others don't like her. I guess if you want a safe vote, you know, once the game has basically been reset for the jury point, I mean, you know, going back to two nominees, you know, you know, the standard veto draws, everything like that. And Andy being HOH, you know, he doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. Like, I guess it's an easy way to go.
It might be easy, but you know what? We still have that problem of the gender balance.
That's another reason to go after Jesse, honestly.
I agree. To go after Jesse, it makes sense, but a lot of people, especially the girls, are going to attack Spencer because Spencer's on the block. It's an opportunity to get rid of someone who's proven themselves to be at least somewhat of a manipulator.
The thing is, he really hasn't proven himself to be somewhat of a manipulator. It's just every time that he's been on the block, there's been someone else that they've wanted to get out more than him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one time he tried to pull a manipulation was last week before Howard went out. Spencer tried to save Howard by, you know, floating the idea of getting rid of Amanda, you know?
Right.
And Amanda then, you know, talks to Spencer about it outside, and he's like, oh, no, I want to get rid of Candace, because that's what you would naturally say to someone if they're asking if you're trying to vote them out. You say, no, mm-hmm. I'm trying to vote out the other one, you know? Helen overhears that, goes in and tells Candace, and of course Candace takes that at face value, that despite everything Spencer had been doing to keep her in the house and trying to, you know, bring her in on meetings, trying to form new alliances, trying to get votes for her, she takes Helen's one word at face value and decides, oh, then Spencer must have been trying to get me out the whole time, and she starts an argument in the backyard and you know, goes kind of ghetto on it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Every time someone says keep my name out your mouth, it's like, okay, fine. I would actually, if I was in the house and anybody told me that, my exact response is, very well, I will not say her name until I go into the diary room and say, I vote to evict Candace.
Mm-hmm. If only it was all that simple. Oh, wait, it is.
But,
I'm dying here. I'm dying. But give me one reason to call Time Warner Cable, say, give me back CBS. I need to watch Big Brother. How you should close out this podcast. Give me a good reason.
McCray is still the beacon of the show. He really is. I mean, despite the coupling with Amanda and despite how disgusting Amanda's gotten in recent weeks, McCray is trying to temper her. He's being the Brendan to her Rachel. Just trying to calm her down, get her to think clearly, get her to stop, you know, stirring the pot and starting shit with other people, you know. She's basically ignoring him, just like Rachel ignored Brendan. But at least he's trying, and at least he's. But unlike Brendan, McCray is actually considering cutting her loose if need be.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I know. Again, I.
How do you release yourself from the suckling? Exactly.
Well,
that's the problem.
I'm pretty sure he couldn't do it for the 2 days when she was spray tanned, but. Because literally, she had to get spray tanned like every hour.
Mm-hmm.
She looked like she literally was the annoying orange, you know. but yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't believe conspiracy theories, but Amanda is in too good of a position for the stage of the game to never seriously be in danger of being evicted. I mean, yeah, she's been on the block twice thanks to the twist, but she's never been in any real danger of being voted out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Aaron and Gina Marie still get to lord their bigotry over people and gain allies for it.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Alyssa is still in this game, it comes back. One of the worst things about this game, and you see it a couple of times every season, is that every time you spare someone
mm-hmm.
In an early vote in favor of the bigger target, that person comes back to bite you.
They do.
Rachel should have been voted out instead of Annie the first week of Big Brother 11, okay? Or 12 or whatever season was. She was supposed to be voted out in the first week instead of Annie. And then
they did get rid of the saboteur.
Not knowingly, you know, they didn't figure it was her. They didn't figure out that it was her. They just decided, meh.
Yeah.
But again, it's like you could have gotten rid of Rachel the very first week and spared us two whole summers of her. But instead, you let her stick around and be annoying and crazy till the jury, until she became, you know, a glint in Grodner's eye, and then get to come back and win a season. You know, season eight, Dick was on the block the second week. You could have gotten rid of him. Nope, he wins.
Hey, Only time will tell. And for that reason.
And here we have we've had two opportunities to get rid of Alyssa, two opportunities to get rid of Amanda, and three opportunities to get rid of Aaron, and they're all still there.
Well, wait for that final three to happen. And you know what? I can't wait to sit back and watch it. Oh, wait. I don't get to. Because Warner can't get their poop together.
Again, count yourself lucky for the moment, honestly.
I'm not going to count myself lucky until I know for sure that this season has gone to hell in a handbasket. I will still hold out hope, as you should. We will keep recapping it here for you right here on the Reality Rant Podcast, because you know what? We care about you. We do. Even though times may get tough, we may not give you these podcasts as frequently as we would like, we have our reasons, and they will become apparent very, very soon. Most importantly, though, I am Eric Pierce of Gameshare News Net. That is Bill Hammond, and this edition of the Reality Rant Big Brother Style is...
I'm going to go into the next audition and just basically, you know, use slurs to get into the house, I guess. I don't know.